when somebody gets saved, they don't make a decision. They have to be born again by the Spirit of God. And if you want a direct reference to John 3:6, it's Titus 3:5, about how the Holy Spirit of God one births us into the family of God. And then over here in 1 Corinthians 15:44, the Apostle Paul here in the church epistles says this. He says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, and he makes the statement, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So we're looking at the spiritual man this week, and the spiritual man, if you look at the word spiritual, it literally means consisting of spirit. It's not material, and it's pertaining to the spirit according to the dictionary, the way it defines the word out like that. If you look over in Galatians chapter 5, we see the whole problem's this. People fuss and fight over whether you lose or keep your salvation and so forth like that. But see, when you're dealing with a subject like this, you find out why they believe that stuff. They're depending on their flesh to get them to heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh. It's rotten, it's corrupt. And when somebody gets saved, their flesh doesn't get saved. That's why when Jesus comes in the rapture, he changes our bodies, and it calls them our vile bodies at that. You say, why do we call them vile? You ever cut one open and smelled it? That's vile. That thing's dying. You ever had one that didn't wash itself for about a month and then be around it? That's vile. I went for a week one time without a bath. I wasn't protesting anything. Our hot water heater blew up. We had to wait to get it fixed. My daddy was kind enough, son, after I got this hot water heater, why would you go take a shower? Sure, we'll be glad to. He said, I smell like a homeless drunk or something like that. I've been saved 3 years at that point and ain't drank in four. And he said, I smell like a drunk. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, I hope he's just kidding about the drunk part. But as we look at that thing in Galatians 5:17, you run into a war. And here's the war. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are, this word right here, contrary. You ever heard an older person say, well, they just contrary. That means no matter what comes along, they're going to fight it, whatever that is. These are contrary the one to the other. So the spirit and the flesh are always at odds, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And if you look over here in Romans chapter 7, you'll get another picture of this. Paul talking about the two natures. In Romans 7:15, your Bible says this, for that which I do, I allow not, and what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now we're talking about a man who was a man of God. He was not just people try to describe him as being a pastor and a missionary fulfilling those roles. This was an apostle. He said, what's the difference in them? Number one qualification for apostle, and all the current guys with their name says apostle on the sign, they all miss this one. This is the number one qualification. You have to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. So now, wait a minute, preacher. I know an apostle claims he does. He claims he does, but he's not seen him. Second qualification, and the first one don't knock them out, and they lie about it. They can't lie about this one. You have to be able to raise someone from the dead. And I'm not talking about, well, when nobody was around, this person died. Now, I mean, you got to be able to do it. Paul did it. Peter did it. Jesus Christ did it. Say, so, well, exactly, because you can't do it. That's why I know when it says that, and he gave some apostles, I know it was just some for that age because there's not any more of them. Right. I'm going to record and say this, and you prove me wrong if you can. I've had people try to say differently, but the word apostle is an office, and there was only 12 of them. Just 12. That's it. No more, no less. There weren't apostles after the fact of the Bible. When John died in Revelation, when he wrote, he was the last one alive.
Right.
Now watch this. He said in verse 17, now that it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, right there it is, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. We got to get up off the couch and go to church. I'm tired. Did that happen at your house today? One honest man in the whole crowd, sir, you get the $100 love offering we're fixing to take up. Now everybody else is saying, I did too, preacher. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That's why when somebody gets saved, they have to fight their flesh just to do right. They want to do right because that Spirit's there and wants to do right. The Holy Spirit's there. He convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But that flesh says, I don't know, we got to, is that Bible really true or not? So not my flesh, you got it trained, right? Well, I promise you this trained flesh, you'll see him before I get done here in a minute. For the good, he said in verse 19, that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Again, he's done said sin that dwelleth in me twice. If he wasn't perfect, I dare say that none of us are. There is no sinless perfection in the human body other than what Jesus Christ was when he was God manifest in the flesh and is God manifest in the flesh, and he was God manifest in the flesh and he rose from the dead, and when he comes back, he's going to be God manifest in the flesh.
Right.
And then you see, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me, for I delight in the law of God after the what man? There's the catch right there. There's the guy that wants to do right. There's the guy that wants to go to church. There's the person that wants to get in and read the Bible every day, pray, and live for God. He said, but I see another law in my members. Oh, my goodness, look how this person is. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin which is in my members. So we got that one that wants to do right, and we got that natural man we talked about last week that don't want to do right. The natural man says, you ain't got to read the Bible every day, especially if you read it one time. He'll say, we done read that one time. It's okay, you don't read the book no more one time. Oh, we can't do that. That's for fanatics. And Paul said in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? One day you're going to die, and after that you're not going to sin anymore. But until that day, you will sin, but don't make that your practice. Fight it. Fight it. If you have the opportunity to do good, do it. And if you have the opportunity to do bad, don't do it. Fight it. Fight it with everything you got. Yield yourselves unto God as instruments unto righteousness, not unto the devil so he can use you. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There's always going to be a struggle in your life to the day you die. There's always going to be one. And as we look at this spiritual man, we look at his characteristics. Let's go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're looking at the characteristics of the spiritual man. There's some things about the spiritual man that'll help you. And number one is this. The new birth imparts a new nature. The new birth imparts a new nature. John chapter 3 verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When you get born again, there's no way not to know that you've been born again. I'm not preaching feelings, I'm preaching truth. And when you are born again, you know when that happened. I've had people argue this. They say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know the day they got saved. Ben, what day did you get saved, brother? How do you know that? Did you write it down? I wrote mine down. I'm bad with dates. What year?
2000.
October 24, 2000. What if I were to tell you that I wasn't there to see it? Everybody tells me, oh, he had a great miraculous transformation. Every time I get around, is it Betty Bright? Oh, if I've ever saw somebody get saved, it's Ben Atkins. And I've never known him to be bad. So what happened? Were you bad before? Obviously, she thought you were. Don't tell her I said, oh, sorry, Betty, if I wasn't supposed to say this. But I find it odd that people can know when they got saved. Especially if I wasn't there. Right? Well, I wasn't there. We'll have to wait a year and see. Well, we've waited 21 years. I think you might be in. I'm just, you know. You better be in. I baptized you. You better be right. I had to make Ben, I had to shove him down here and everything. He wouldn't hardly fit. He's so tall. But in all seriousness, though, let me ask you this. Let me pick another random subject here. Oh, I know. I won't pick on y'all. Lisa, when did you get saved?
Sometime in February 1994.
You don't know the date, though. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you the date she got saved, the day my life started getting miserable. Y'all are laughing. Look at my face. I am not laughing about it. I was lost. I was undone. I was hell-bound. And all of a sudden, heaven started living at the house. You ever heard somebody say, well, I don't go to church, so I'm in hypocrites down there and all that. So you ever heard that before? I thought to myself, dear God, if everybody in that church is like her, I ain't going to it at all. She wanted to pray before she ate and on and on and on and on and on. And I couldn't stand it. I can't tell you what date it was, but I remember when the change came in. So how long did you hold out? Oh, about 2 months. I made it 2 whole months. I don't know the exact date for her either, but I know this. It was 2 months later I was getting in too. I didn't even know why. But it's because there's a new nature I kept seeing in my house that I wasn't familiar with. A new nature. Somebody that's born again has a new nature. They change. When people say, well, you can get saved and not know it. I don't believe that.
Right.
I'll tell you this. You'll get saved and everybody around you will know it.
That's right.
I heard Brother Kirsch. Well, when did you get saved, by the way?
January 21st,
1996,
right before.
Hold on. My prophecy is kicking in. It was a Sunday morning, wasn't it?
Yep.
You was at church in Chesney.
Mayo.
Yeah, that too. He's at First Baptist of Mayo. What's the First Baptist ever put in Mayo? This was First Baptist of Mayo. I can read between the lines and see how uppity churches look. But anyway, let me tell you something. Whenever that day was, listen to this. He didn't have to feel saved. He was saved. And he's the one who tells this story. I'm going to tell a piece of it. He said he used to cuss before he got saved. After he got saved, he came to his daddy and said, Daddy, I don't know if I'm still saved or not. I've cussed today. He said, how many times you cussed? And I think it was 3 or 4 or something like that. 5 times. He said, I've cussed 5 times. He said, how many did you cuss before you got saved? He said, I never counted. Something was bothering him about that. You know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit in there talking to the new man saying, that flesh sure has cussed 5 times today. And the new man said, yeah, we need to quit that. That's what that is. If you carry the practices when you're lost with you, you'll try to do them forever, but somebody will try to stop you from doing them practices.
Right.
It always happens that way. Now, we're looking at the new birth and part in a new nature. Look over at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We're talking about the spiritual man. That's a new nature that comes inside you. And if you're a man, it'll be a new man. If you're a woman, it'll be a new woman. Say amen right there. God recognizes two.
Amen.
You know how I know that? I read in the Bible, man and woman, man and woman, man and woman, man and woman. And when they didn't go by that partner, God wiped out a whole city for it. And their sin? Pride. Go read the book of Ezekiel and look up that word that describes that city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he'll say pride was their sin. Don't that sound familiar? What's going on today? Like pride marches, pride month, all that stuff. Listen, I don't boycott restaurants, as you can tell by my fabulously made up body, but I will not go to somebody that's trying to promote that agenda. I don't do it. And don't tell me I'm a hater, because there's a lady used to work out the clock that's a lesbian living woman. She always come up and hug me, and I hugged her. So don't tell me I don't love people. Don't call me no hater. You are the hater. How can you call us hater? Because I can, and I just did. That's why. You done it to me, I'm doing it to you. Now, do you like how it feels? Hater. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. What does crucified mean? I believe it means putting somebody to death very painfully. He says there, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. God does not want you to kill yourself. He don't want you to take your own life. He says, not I, but Christ liveth in me. What's he want you to do? Get that flesh out the way and let Christ be there in the place of it. Will it be forever? Not forever. It's a daily dying process. But he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yeah. Here I've been worried the whole time I got to keep reading this Bible and build up faith so I can be a good Christian. You know what I can do? I can unplug from here and plug in up there and be in league with the Son of God and keep going. Yeah. That way when I lack faith on something, I can plug into heaven and do it anyway. Somebody asks me questions sometimes about the Bible, and sometimes I know the answer. Sometimes I look at them like they got two heads. I can't believe they found that. But I do know this. If I just plug into him, he'll eventually show it to me. But there are some cases, and I've noticed this, where I look at the Bible and it's so plain, I think, man, that's so easy. And everybody else is having trouble with it. You know what that is? Plugging in up there. That's how you get the best out of it. And he says there, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I guess one way to really get plugged in on this is center in on the crucifixion and how Jesus died for our sins, how that blood covered our sins. Go back to the Old Testament and find out where that blood was in those offerings, how Christ was in every Levitical offering they were, and go through them and see them for what they are, and say, you know what? I got a characteristics that with the new nature, I get a new life when I live with the Lord in mind. Some folks fail as a Christian because they do one thing wrong. Let me tell you what it is. They try to live a Christian life without Christ. And that doesn't work. There's never been a Christian. By the way, who do you think, don't say that loud, who do you think is the best Christian you know? They are that way because they live the Christian life with Christ. They don't do it by themselves. The ones that do it by themselves, they're all somewhere drunk tonight. They're somewhere shacked up tonight. They're out of the will of God tonight. And they say, I tried. Don't try. Trust. You just let God be God. Don't worry about the details. Let him sweat the details. And you get the detail of, I can't do it without him. Please help me, Lord. And he'll be there right on the spot. And it says there, he said he loved me and gave himself for me. Well, we don't have a dead Jesus we're looking at. We got a very much alive Jesus. You say, well, he don't speak to me. Well, clear your heart of the sin you're harboring and confess up to him and get your heart where it needs to be with God, and he'll instruct you on the path to go on.
Right.
Listen to this. You ever heard somebody make the statement, I have Jesus in my heart? And when you talk to them and listen to them talk, you think, if he's in your heart, boy, he's plugging his ears. Oh, y'all know somebody, that brought up somebody. Because I'm reading faces off every name I'm seeing here. Let's see. Yeah, everybody's doing it. Listen, that statement is made by people usually because they're wanting to say lingo to get you off their back. Went to the homeless shelter one day with this fella, and we went out there to see a particular guy that visited this church. And he tried to tell us, well, I'm going to go over to Apostle Carpenter's church over there. I said, is he sending the bus out this week? No. Is he a real apostle? Yeah, man, yeah, I watched him on TV. He said, well, okay. Another guy trying to talk to him, trying to help him. And I finally, you know what, we wasn't on a soul winning visit, so I finally said, can I say something? The guy said, yeah. I said, young man, I said, let me ask you a question. You just answer me the first thing pops in your head. I said, how many times has that apostle come out here to visit you? How many times have you picked up your phone and called him and got him on another line? And then I want you to tell me how many groceries that guy has brought to your house. How many times that guy fixed your car. How many? I said, wherever he goes to church, I go to his church. And he came here, but I was just saying. Whatever's got that guy doing that, I'd say, I'm going to go there and get some of that. Instead of this fake Christianity where, well, I got Jesus in my heart, man. Let me show you something. Look at Colossians chapter 1. You say, you sound like you don't believe that. No, I do believe it. I don't believe them. I believe the Bible, but I do not believe people. Because usually, listen, if you have to tell people you're doing that, you ain't doing it. And in Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What mystery? He said, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You mean to tell me the God of this universe lives in your heart and you can do the things you do and it never bother you? You mean to tell me you've got God Almighty living in your person and you can go out and do and say the things you do and go to the hellholes you go to, be out there and do the things you do, and Daddy not whoop you? You said, Daddy. Yeah, he's your daddy. Hey, Daddy, I'm going to stick my finger in that socket over. Oh, no, you ain't. I'm going to grab this hot iron over here. Oh, no, you ain't. And the second time I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway and show you. Plan, there comes the reminder. Where do parents learn that from? They learn it from God Almighty, who chastens His children by time. That's to give them a reminder why they can't do those things and still go on. Has it ever occurred to you that when parents whip you, it's to keep you from killing yourself sometimes? Don't stick your hand in a box that you don't know what's in that box, especially to see copper wires in it. Somebody told me one time they was going to change these breakers, one of the breakers out or something, that box back there. And I thought, Lord, they're going to die right here. Because my dad told me if you stuck your hands in there, you'd die. I feared for their life the whole time. But I noticed one thing that guy did. He flipped that main switch before he started touching all the rest of them. Now, if he'd been on the job somewhere, been lock out, tag out, and tell somebody and all this other stuff, y'all still do that, right? And I got to looking at that, I thought, man, so somebody actually listened to somebody and do something, they done it right. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. If he's not there, I'd get him there immediately. I'd get saved right now. I wouldn't fool around another one of these so-called, well, I got caught doing wrong, so I wasn't really saved last time, but I'm really saved now. I don't believe they're really saved now. I think they're using religion to get themselves out of trouble, and one day God's going to catch up with you on that thing. You'll wind up in a car wreck, float out in eternity dead, you'll float out to eternity right into hell, and you'll think, I wished I wouldn't have done that. I wished I'd have listened all them times I've been told that. The new life, look right to your left at Galatians chapter 5. The new life consists with new fruit. Something happens to a person when they get saved. They get the Holy Spirit of God. They're born again. They got a new nature, a new life, and now they get new fruit. And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he's then told about the works of the flesh. Now he comes in here and tells about the thing. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. I want you to read that right, just like it says. I believe in a literal Bible. Do you believe in a literal Bible? The fruit of the Spirit is what? What kind of? How many fruits are they? Look up here. Everybody look up here. One. Just one. Read it again. But the singular is. Y'all getting this right? You want to say nine because there's nine things there, but it's not nine, it's one. You ever read over in the Bible about the gift of the spirits over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Go back and read it again. You'll find out it's not gifts. It's a gift. It's Him, the Holy Spirit of God. You don't get placed in the body of Christ without that gift. You don't go to heaven without that gift. You don't get sealed without that gift. You don't have a gift to give if you don't have that gift in your heart to give it. Not fussing at you. Not trying to embarrass you. Let's read it again. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, what are these things? Well, if I'm looking at this correctly, them nine things would be what you'd call elements that make up the one thing. Get that. Do y'all like apples? Skin? Meat? What's in them leaves on the bottom as well? What they call it again? You told me one time and I forgot. On the bottom of an apple. I can't think of them. They're one thing. And there's a core and there's seeds. What?
Sepals.
Sepals, that's it. See why I couldn't remember that. Y'all knew that already, though. I ain't telling y'all that, y'all know. And you got the stem that comes out of the top of it, and you got the seeds that's in it and the core. How many apples is it? What if you got two of them sitting there? How many apples is it? It's two apples, but if you put your hand, get one, you can get one. And now describe that one. Those are elements that make up that apple. Are y'all with me? First one, love. These love, joy, and peace are all emotionally changed when you get saved. A love that says that it's a love that does, not says, I love you. Since you got saved, you told more people you loved that you loved them than prior to you getting saved. Why? Because the giver of love is inside. He can't help but to love people. Now watch this. Joy. People are looking for happiness. Boy, they'll travel to the mountains, down to the beach, up to another state. They'll go wherever they can hunting happiness. And then on the way back, they're tired, they're miserable, and they might get road rage every 10 feet, and they're not happy anymore because that happening was good, but now they're not happy. There ain't no happening.
Right.
Joy don't worry about happenings. Joy comes anytime and stays anytime. You know, I had to write down last year. I had to write a verse out that kept bothering me because I stayed at night crying every night. So why was you crying? I was sad. Something happened in my life that made me sad. And I determined that I wasn't going to live that way because I had the Holy Spirit of God in me. I was going to grieve that thing out. And when I got it grieved out, I was going to get back some joy. Are you listening to me tonight? Joy, J-O-Y. And it's everything I've been preaching on for years. Now I got to live it. Jesus first, other second, yourself last. Made the whole difference in the world. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can I tell you, around February, we got the joy back? You ought to say amen, preacher. We're glad for you. I'll probably take a spell every once in a while, but I mean the grieving process finally got over. All right, you listen, when you have stuff happen, it happens. But joy comes in the morning. Now watch this. Love, joy, and gosh, here's the one that kills people. Peace. Romans 5:1 gives you present peace. Colossians 3:15 talks about practical peace. But you get peace. And if you get peace and you get saved, why is there so much war drama going on in your life? I'll tell you why. That old nature is taking over, and need to get the new nature in there and have the Holy Spirit start directing your steps and stops.
Yeah.
Die to that thing. Notice this one. You got that second set down there. You got emotionally changed fruit of the Spirit. Then you got a socially changed, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. You know what long-suffering does? It puts up with anything.
Yeah.
Anything. Take it. What you got? Throw it at me. Taxes due on the house. I ain't got no money. Long suffering. We'll wait on God. So God don't always just hand out stuff. But if you tithe and live for God, He does. The only problem I have with God doing that is He don't hand it out on my schedule. He hands it out on His. I like things being done ahead of time. That way you ain't got to worry about it. You know what worry is? It's the wrapping paper for fear. You unwrap that word, there's fear under there. Where there's fear, there is no faith. You believe God and plug into heaven, God will take care of it. He's got the strangest way of doing it, too. He, listen, you ever heard somebody say, well, you can't get blood out of a tournament. No, but you can get money out of it. God can take care of things. I trusted him 27 years ago, my tithe, and he ain't let up since. And listen to this. I don't brag about my tithing record, but what little I give, it's what I'm supposed to give. It's what God told me to give, right out of this book. And I do this every year as a pastor. I put my tithing record out for people to get it and look at it, because I want you to know that it can be done. It can be. God can.
Amen.
Now notice this. You got long-suffering, gentleness. Gentleness is like you'd handle something with care as to not break it. And when you deal with something socially like that, how about a soft answer turned away from wrath? Is that in your Bible?
Right.
So if you're reading a daily proverb, in about 7 days, you're going to run right into that verse. And listen to this. You need to be gentle with people, how you talk to them. Because for some reason, we changed countries here a few years ago. We're now in the United States of the offended.
Yep.
You and I don't get offended. If we do, we're not right with God, not right with the Bible. Great, what? Have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But everybody around me, they offended all the time. They get offended. They get offended. Why don't you just grow up and quit crying all the time? Your little fits like that are killing the rest of us. But we got the long suffering to put up with you. We'll pray you through it. Long suffering, gentleness, and gosh, this one is plain goodness. So you know what goodness is? What's this definition? The opposite of badness. So that's badness. I don't know what you got. That you do, that you know God's against, that's bad. You know what goodness is? Goodness says, well, I know they called you fat, but I'm going to say this. I'll pray we to lose weight. You know what, Brother Brian, you don't know this. I'll just tell you. Everybody else knows it but you. I got voted into this church at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night and got called fat at 7:05 by somebody leaving that wouldn't never come back. If I'd have known then what I know now, you know what I said? You think I'm fat now? I weigh 100 pounds more than I did then. People can't, if I tell people what I weigh, they don't believe me. I have to go take a scale out and show them. But I'm not going to do that because I listen, it'll all work out in the end. God burdened my wife to put me on a diet and we headed that way. Little bit at a time. You know how to figure it out? Them fad diets do, they get you there that quick, but they'll get you back that quick.
Amen.
You taking steps like this, that's how I got this way, so if I take little steps back, I'll be all right. And I noticed that when we see goodness as the opposite of badness, be good to people, then we got the spiritual change part in those last three. He says, one of the things, these elements is faith. You know what faith simply does? Just believes God.
Yeah.
Martin East Hampton, my ordination, said this, do you believe the Bible? Yes, sir. Do you believe it when it says Noah got drunk, he got drunk? Yes, sir. Do you believe that when the Bible said that the wages of sin is death, people die and go to hell? I said, yes, sir, I believe it. He said, let's ordain the man. There's still five other guys with questions. He's ready to go ahead. If he believes the Bible, he'll make it. I was sitting there thinking, yeah, let's quit now while we're ahead. I mean, if you believe the Bible, you'll make it down the road. That's in ministry or in life, marriage, whatever you got. If you believe God and you believe this book, you'll be okay. I was asked recently by a young man who's 17 years old, getting married. He said, what keeps a marriage together? He said, don't say God. That's just so generic to say that. I said, faith. Faith? Yeah. You believe she won't kill you, and you believe God won't let her kill you, and you'll be all right. So why does that work on her end, not mine? I said, because she gets mad first. She'll be the first one to get mad. You'll be sitting there talking about, and she'll want to cut your throat. She'll be so mad at you. Why? Well, you tramped in that mud with your dirty work boots. You threw your clothes over in the corner, and they smell like something that we can't talk about in church. I mean, it's one of the things. And you wonder sometimes why your wife gets mad. That's why. Real simple. Just the little things that spoil the whole marriage. But if you believe God won't let her kill you, she may not. And then there you'll be. You'll be living with a happy marriage forever. Simple, ain't it? How about this? You know how you make it through the Christian life all the way to the end of it? Faith. How do I know this is the Bible? I believe what God said about it.
Amen.
For all these guys out there trying to correct this Bible, I got news for them. By faith is how we believe this got here. The same way we believe by faith, we believe God created the world and keeps it together. By faith, we believe God saved us. And by faith, we believe God kept the book. I feel sorry for them because they don't have enough faith to believe what I just told you. One said this, well, facts in history say something different. What book are you reading, son? You didn't get it out of this book. I was there when this guy named Bill Jones at Pastor Davidson Creek, this smart mouth kid out of North Greenville tried to say, well, now the New American Standard is closer to the original manuscripts. And Bill Jones said, get me a set, let me check myself. And he looked at guys like, I don't know where they're at. He said, well, how do you know they look like that? Then they look like this one. He said, I may be pastoring a little simple old country church, but I know I believe God and what God said, or what you and your seminary professor told you, you little liar. And that guy's like, a little flustered there, wasn't we? You know what happens? When you stand up to them liberals, they ain't got nothing to stand on. Amen and amen. Notice this. We got meekness, and that's kind, and manners, and behavior. And then we got this last one, and this is going to be the hard one. Temperance. When you see the word temperance, you think in your mind, if you've ever looked up in the dictionary, oh, I know that one, that's self-control. Not in this context. What did we say it was again? The fruit of who? So this temperance is God controlling your life through the Holy Spirit. You ever read the words about him constraining Paul before? He'll constrain you. And the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit-controlled life is Romans chapter 6, verse 16, about being yielded to him. By faith, we believe God can do that. By faith, we ask him to do that. And God moves in and does it. And he helps you with that very problem because we have no control in our lives. I found out something recently. I was going through all this stuff and getting stuff paid off, and I was thinking, man, this is great. And I've had about 14 loan offers this week for over $50,000. Talking about tempted. I could be sitting on a quarter million in cash right now if I just check in with five of them. So what'd you do with it? I don't know. I've never had that problem before. I don't know how I'd act. I know how I'd act when the bill come due, though, don't you? Listen to me. Lord, help me not to get this. Lord, please help me not to do something dumb like that. Because, Lord, I want to do it. And if you come to me tonight and you say, I need $50,000. Will you borrow it and pay it back until you know? Go get your own loan. Get your own $50,000. It's your interest rate. Because I've learned that problem too. I didn't learn that one the hard way. I did learn it through somebody else, but I learned it just well. Somebody wanting to buy a convertible and all of, or a Cadillac or something instead of just getting a car. Now, you're going way too overboard there. You probably need a Pinto before you drive in that and get used to the Pinto first. Who knows what a Pinto is? How many's ever rode a Pinto? You young kids, bless your hearts, you'll never have the privilege. I don't think there's one still out there, but they may be. They what? Oh, boy. How many of y'all ever owned a Pinto? I thought when them hands kept going up, that's what it was. That was what the problem was right there. Wonder why Ford discontinued them cars. But they kept making the Mustang, they quit with a Pinto. They must have been something happening. I don't know what it was. Anyway. That spirit-controlled life is the life of the believer. And what we got in these characteristics, we got a new birth, with a new nature, and we got a new life. You got, therefore, a new believer with Christ in his heart. According to Ezekiel chapter 36 over there, they got a new heart over there. According to all this, the believer gets clean now through the word of God when it's preached to him. That spirit man gets clean. And we keep on going, we find out this, that new man with the new life is a great big target Satan's always aiming at. From here to the grave, God bless you, you're going to be in a war. You're going to have to fight yourself and fight the devil. And then there's another element comes in there called the world. How many of y'all bought clothes in the last week? Did you see the new fashion style that you missed? I watched somebody who's named the Vice President of America's daughter model it, and I thought, dear God, that can't be real clothes. That's got to be something from an alien or something, some kind of alien movie. We're out of style. But as long as we're out of step with the world, we're probably stepping right with God. I ask people all the time, why do you buy certain things? Why'd you buy that? Well, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was romantic. It was this. It was that. Just go back and ask God, can you buy them things? Just say, Lord, I need permission to buy this. If you don't have it, let me know, and he'll let you know. I would show you a picture of that thing, because I just thought, I can't believe that's not movie costumes or something. They call that style. I'm glad I'm out of style. Amen. Listen. That new name that comes with this thing also shows us one thing. It don't show the world that we're saved. It shows us that we're saved. And the biggest person you'll ever have to convince of that is not going to be the world. It's going to be you. Because people in the world are going to say, well, they're religious right now, but that'll wear out. Thank God, listen, I've been doing it for over 28 years. It don't wear out too easy. Thank God for that. I thank God every day. Listen, you got to understand, when you get out there and you're living for the Lord outside of this church, it works out there like it works in here. That new nature is the same in both places. That flesh is longing to do that. But here's the good thing. The Spirit of God can help you with all that. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking.